Welcome to GL Horton's Stage Page. Today is Sunday, the 21st of January, 2007. Winter has finally descended on New England, not yet white, but more than enough cold to go around. Brown crunches underfoot as you walk across it, much as if it were snow. This week we have a reading for you, as well as a short discussion and, of course, the coming events, which is where we'll start. Robert Woodruff's Swan Song opens at the ART this week, a modernization of Racine's Britannicus with obvious current implications. Later in the week, Zeitgeist Theater opens Colleen Curran's Sacred Hearts, a serious comedy about a miracle. The actor's Shakespeare project's The Winter's Tale starts up at the Cambridge Multicultural Center with the usual sampling of Boston's best actors. The Underground Railway Theater is doing a world premiere of their adaptation of Grace Paley's autobiographical stories in State of Grace at the Boston Playwrights Theater, using a combination of live actors and puppetry. The New Reps Silence continues over at the Arsenal Center for the Arts, and Race, an adaptation of Studs Terkel's oral history work, runs at the Charlestown Working Theater. For reviews by Will Stackman, go to On the Isle at http://profwill.spymac.com. Last week, we presented one of the monologues Lois did for us under less than ideal conditions. Our second effort was better, but there was still a lot of background noise. I'm hoping this New York actress will use her own equipment to record a few more under more ideal circumstances and send them along to g.l.horton@mindspring.com so we can add them to our collection. Perhaps you could do the same. That's g.l.horton@mindspring.com. Here's Lois.
I went into my local bank this week and saw a big sign that from now on they will charge a $15 fee for cashing checks for someone without a bank account there. Why? Why is this legal? Personal checks, I can see, they may be fake, but a paycheck from Walmart, a tax refund. The bank knows that the check is pretty darn sure to go through, doesn't it? The policy's a rip-off, penalizing the poor for being poor. Respectable banks are joining rent-to-own shops, check-cashing joints, loan sharks, number runners, and the state lotteries. Deliberately targeting the poor. Why not take advantage? They went to bad schools, they're gullible. Why not con poor people out of the little they have? Overdrafts are the biggest scam. Bank explains it like they're doing you a service by letting the transaction go through, but really, they are piling up fees. They allow the big transaction that dips your balance below zero, then they bounce all over the little ones and charge fees that are bigger than checks you wrote when you thought you had the money. Banks and finance companies operate completely backwards. They charge the most for people who are the least able to afford it. Wealthy people get their fees written off. They can be overdrawn by thousands. In our country, rich people get privileges and poor people are despised. I don't understand this. Is it social Darwinism? Our Calvinist heritage? What is it that invites us to abuse the poor? It's as if poverty itself is a crime and proof that a person is not worthy.
Playwrights are always working on ways to get themselves and their works noticed. It isn't easy. There are few new plays done in any given year, at least in the U.S., and thousands of artists trying to get in line for a spot. It gets worse when you're in a niche, and merely being female is a niche. There are more female playwrights than males, yet more men get their works produced than women do, and the men really don't write any better than the women. This discussion starts there, GL talking with Will Stackman and John Myers.
Claire Booth Lewis.
Yeah. But no, she belonged to a generation that had women writers. It was the following generation after hers that if you go through the Burns Mantle Best 10 Plays, the ones who were close to the turn of the century, World War II just wiped them up. We spent 30 years without anybody, unless you count Lorraine Hansberry, basically. They just disappeared. And there had been plenty of them in the 20s and 30s. So we want to celebrate this moment when we have a bunch of them around, make a fuss about it. Cool. And then that gets people into, we hopefully would end up with mailing lists with the names of people who are interested in seeing what's happening with new plays, which could be shared with the whole new play community.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like, you know, based on the two suggestions, even something like, you know, like I'm hoping to want to do
maybe in the summer, you know, real small scales, like, you know, pull in a larger work playwright or somebody, we can have some sort of like a minor workshop conference, not where the idea is not to really workshop scripts, but to have skills workshops where everybody gets together and does that kind of stuff.
My opinion on this matter is that you don't want a playwright.
What do you want?
What you want is a director or a producer or even, God help us, a dramaturg. You want somebody who can recommend anybody that they see who is talented to people they know. And no sensible playwright is going to do that for playwrights. Because they already have friends to recommend.
I'm talking about like a
Yeah, you have a little conference where you talk about the business of writing for the theater. You share skills. People can do workshops. But if you're going to ask, kind of focus it around somebody with a name, so it is a news hook, well, that somebody should be, even an actor. I remember when Suffolk University did a reading of Elizabeth Aoff's play. She had Lindsay Krauss come and do the lead. And that place was packed. People were hanging off. It was just a reading. They were hanging off.
Yeah, well, and in any rate, whatever it is, I end up working out with that. I mean, I've got some ideas on how to work that. The idea isn't, that isn't so much, yeah, it can be a great thing for exposure, but I think the idea is how to pull the playwrights together under like a common roof for start developing this notion of standards of what we all, like a common bond. Because I think the problem is that, you know, we're all off of the fiefdoms. The only events that are ones like, you know, like Boston Theater Marathon or production-related sort of events still end up kind of separating everybody in the long run because we don't have these, you know, where we all get together and talk shop.
Well, the Stage Source does one. Weren't you here for that? I think it was in August at Brandeis. They've done two now. And the playwrights... The playwrights segregated themselves, so instead of talking to the people that they needed to talk to in order to get their work accessible, the playwrights went off and talked about
and complained about why people weren't paying attention
to playwrights.
You're talking about this summer. That's the one, because I was the one that led the focus group for the play.
Oh, okay.
Like, basically what happened was all the different groups, like there was the dramaturg group, and they separated off during lunch period to talk about the theme, which was centered around
social, political.
Like, and so that's what we talked about a lot, is about, like, you know, what does it mean to be a playwright in the sense of up against, you know, like, for example, one of the things, you know, that a lot of people talked about was, like, you know, what is it like to be a woman playwright? And come up against, and write about issues that are related to that, and come up against...
the fact that very few people are interested in that.
Yeah. And also, in disabled playwrights. And from my point of view, I'm coming at it in the sense that I'd really like to write about social issues that make people uncomfortable. Well, my place, I haven't had a lot of success. But, I mean, that was the idea, like, how to be socially active in groups. I mean, that was part of just the nature of that lunch thing, was sort of a separation.
Well, no, there were also the breakout groups that, you know, and I went to all the playwright ones and trying to remember who all was in the groups. They were fairly small. Some of the playwrights, sensibly enough, went to something else with a different title, like financing theaters with mission or something. Mm-hmm. But there was, I remember one of the questions that the group leader asked. I don't remember who the group leader was. Isn't that awful? Anyway, one of the questions was, how many of you write or like plays in which the political issue is addressed head-on, where people take a stand and the conflict is what's on the stage? And a certain number of people raised their hands and then said, how many people like it where it's subtext and the audience does the work of reading the particular issue into the way people are interacting and treating each other? And another bunch of people raised their hand. Yeah. And meaning there was about six people on each side. Because there were only about a dozen people in the room.
And that's, so they have that biannual conference. And I really, honestly though, my thing was, I was pretty disappointed that there weren't, I didn't see any playwriting events really. Like, and what was presented as playwriting wasn't really even playwriting. It was like adaptation and performance kind of stuff rather than like playwriting, you know?
Well, yeah, there were lots of things about theater-generated scripts.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
In which the playwright was at most a stenographer and an editor.
If anything, or it was like, which, those are great and all, but I mean, I'm coming from the point of view that, like, I'm like a playwright, and I think a lot of us out there are in that traditional sense of the word, and I don't feel like there are enough situations. Well, then that's what I like about the Google group, is a chance for us to all talk about, like, playwriting from a playwright's point of view, and, like, because I think that what happens is that we get lost in these other groups that, you know, want to get concerned about, do we have enough actors, or how are we going to, you know, produce this stuff.
Larry Stark runs a Theater Mirror website and covers as much of the Boston area theater scene as he can manage. He is only one man, though, and lacks the ability to be everywhere each night. There are many of you, though, and that many can be many places every night and see shows Larry can't. Go to a show, big stage or church basement. then email him a quick message with the details and a few words describing what you thought about the show. He can be reached at larry@theatermirror.com. Tell him we sent you. Well, thanks for stopping by. Do us a big favor and let us know how you feel about the show. If you stop by our website at glhorton.podomatic.com, there's a button right there to make leaving a comment easy. It's a little different with the players we have on various websites, but not a lot. Subscribers have to work a little harder and send an email to us at g.l.horton@mindspring.com. That's the same address we'd like you to use to send us any recordings you make for us to use on our show. Have yourselves a good week. We'll be back again next. Until then.